Today we're going to finish our final message in the Renewed series from Isaiah. A few years ago, some of you would remember that we did the Ride for Refuge here at the church. It wasn't here, but we had a few riders from our church, and we met in Canada, and we joined a number of people all across the city who were raising money for charities. I think it was my second ride that this took place, but let me just back it up for a second. In my first ride, I looked at the three levels that I could enter. I could do a 5-kilometer ride, I could do a 25-kilometer ride, or I could do a 50-kilometer ride. And I knew that 5 kilometers just didn't seem significant enough, and people would make fun of me if that was the ride I did. And then I looked at the 50, I thought, oh my gosh, that's crazy. I barely do any bike riding as it is. I need to stick with the middle one. And so I did that, and I remember one of our riders, he kept saying to me, hey, do you want to do the 50-kilometer ride? I'm like, not a chance. That's just ridiculous. I can't even imagine that you would be thinking that. The next year, I borrowed a bike from a family in the church, and it was the first time I had ridden something that was a little bit more appropriate for these longer rides. And so once again, I had a decision to make: 5 kilometers, 25 kilometers, or 50 kilometers. And once again, I looked, and I knew that 5 was too little, but 50 just, like, when I looked at the 50-kilometer amount, I thought to myself, I don't have the capacity to do that. I don't have the energy or the skill set, or I'm not in shape enough. I just can't do the 50. I'm going to do the 25-kilometer ride. And so I signed up, and we, you know, our team left, and at somewhere in the ride, I pulled ahead of some of our team members. Some of them had already shot past me, and they were doing a different route. They were doing the 50, and I found myself riding by myself. Somewhere along the line, I missed my turnoff for the 25-kilometer ride, and I just kept riding. I saw some people ahead of me, and I just kept following them and just kept riding. And what I found out was that by the end of this ride, I had actually done the 50-kilometer ride. I was supposed to do the 25. I couldn't figure out why it was taking me so long, and none of my peers were riding with me. I had done the 50-kilometer ride, which I was completely amazed at, because when I signed up for this ride, I truly didn't believe that I had the capacity to go that distance. I don't know about you, but this is just one of those moments in my life that are part of many where I don't believe in myself, that I don't believe that I have the ability to go a certain distance or do certain things. I limit my capacity. Have you ever been there? You limit your capacity of what you're able to do. And there are moments where you underestimate yourself, like I did that day, where you believe that you can do less than you actually can do. You think to yourself, all I can do is the 5 kilometer, and you can do the 50 kilometer. You just don't believe in yourself. But the truth is that there really are some things in life that the roadblock is a real roadblock. This is not just a mental thing. This is not you just not believing in yourself. There are just some things in life that you just can't do. You just don't have the capacity to accomplish. For instance, if you came to me after the service and you said, Pastor Jeff, I have a flat tire, but I forgot my jack. Could you lift my car for me? Now, you may have observed that I try to work out on a regular basis, or maybe you wonder when I'm going to start working out. But you come to me and you say, hey, Pastor Jeff, would you lift my car for me? I would tell you immediately, there's no possible way I can do that. This is not a mind over matter. This is not about me just believing in myself. I just don't have the capacity to do what you've asked me to do. This is exactly what the Israelites were facing in Isaiah chapter 40. We've already done the prelude over the last 3 weeks, that God's promising them that he's going to take them back to Jerusalem. That Cyrus, the leader of the Persians, is going to come in, and he's going to do the unthinkable and conquer Babylon. And he's going to take the Israelites, he's going to allow the Israelites to go back to their homeland, back to the place of worship, back to the place of prayer, back to the place of identity, that he's going to return them to the place that they want to be. But right now, they're in Babylon. And the distance is significant to get back to Jerusalem. And in their minds, they are thinking, God, even if you did do this, even if you did allow Cyrus to come and conquer the Babylonians, we don't have the capacity We don't have the ability within ourselves to get to the place that you want to take us. And friends, the truth is that for some of you today, the places that God wants to take you, you honestly don't feel like you have the capacity to get there. Maybe you've gone through some difficulties over this past year. Maybe you're facing a challenge in your life today. Maybe there are just some mountains that are just too big for you. And you're at this place where you're saying, it's not even a matter of me believing in myself. I just don't have the emotional capacity. I just don't have the spiritual capacity. I just don't have it in me to get to the places that I think God wants to take me. I just don't. I'm completely spent. And I think that if we're honest with ourselves, every one of us have hit those moments in life where we feel completely depleted, and we know that God wants to take us to a better spot, but we just don't feel we have the capacity to get there. And so God addresses this with the Israelites, and we're going to look at what he says to them in Isaiah chapter 40, verses 29 to 31. You can either look up at the screen or your devices or your own print Bible, or friends who are watching online, you can simply look at the screen. Isaiah 40, 29 to 31 says, he gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. God recognizes that Israel really may not have the capacity to do what he wants them to do. He recognizes that they are far from having the full strength to go the distance, and he even acknowledges it. He says, even young men, and he's not talking about a certain age, he's talking about people who are in their prime. He says, even those young men grow weak and they fall. They start the journey and they get to a certain point and they grow tired, because that's the normality of life, is that we all only have so much we can do. And God realizes that there is a limitation on their ability to do the things that he's calling them to do. And then God says something. He says, I want to make a promise to you that I'm going to give you the strength that you need to get to the places I want to take you. And let me just tee this off. I want to tell you this today, friends, that God wants to give you the strength and the capacity to get to the places that he wants to take you in 2023. He wants to put something inside of you that will allow you to get to the place of worship, that will allow you to get to the place of prayer, that will allow you to get to the place of identity, that will allow you to get to the place of purpose. He wants to put something in you that's beyond what you have in yourself. And so the first thing that we need to see from this passage that falls in line with that promise is the anticipation of strength. The anticipation of strength. He says, but those who hope or wait upon the Lord, or those who hope or wait upon, those who hope in the Lord. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31. We often interpret this as that if we just wait in God's presence. In fact, I've probably referenced this passage many times, and I'm just like, hey, if you just wait in God's presence, if you just spend more time in prayer, if you just get alone and pull away from the noise and pull away from the busyness, God's going to give you the strength. But there's more to this than that. That's part of it, but there's more to it. You see, this word wait or hope means to look eagerly. It's tied to the idea of stretching to express the tension of endurance. When I was a kid, when I was probably about 5 years old, I remember I used to wake up in the middle of the night. And I'd start to cry, and I would call out on my mom and dad, and my dad would often come in, and he'd say, what's wrong? My legs were hurting. I was experiencing growing pains, and he began to explain to me what they were, that my body was growing and that my legs were growing, and because they were growing, there was a stretching taking place in my muscles, and that the pain I was facing was growing pains. And I was like, great, Dad, thanks for the explanation, but I'm in pain right now. What are we going to do about it? I'm there laying in bed crying because my legs are sore, and my dad would massage my muscles, and he'd say, Jeff, don't worry, this won't last forever. Eventually, your body's going to catch up, everything's going to be fine, and he tried to explain it to me in childlike terms. But he kept telling me, just don't worry, it's not going to be like this forever. Don't worry, we'll get through the night. Don't worry, it's not going to be like this forever. And there was this anticipation that the pain would stop. There's an element in this passage of that. That God is saying that there are moments where you're going to feel the pain in your journey to where God's taking you, but you are to anticipate that it's not going to last forever. That's part of it. Friends, this is important, though, because this is a significant part of this passage. Some of the things you're going through, you won't be going through in a few months' time. Some of the things that you're facing right now, you're not going to be facing in maybe even a shorter period of time. There is this anticipation that God's trying to breathe into you today, saying it's not going to last forever. There's that anticipation. But that's only part of it. That's only part of the picture that God's trying to express to us. You see, sometimes when we're in the painful growing moments where there's the tension and he's trying to push us to endure, there's this like this cross my fingers type of hope. Okay, I hope it's not going to last forever. It's been 3 days now. Oh, I just hope it's not going to last forever. And our anticipation is nothing more than a cross finger expression. When I was a kid, there would often be people who would visit us from a distance. My grandma would come over, or my cousins would come over, or one of my dad's family members would come over, and they were going to show up on a certain day. And I remember especially when we lived in Kitchener, we had this big bay window, and I would often run to the window, and I'd look out the window. And my mom would say to me, "Hey, Jeff, they're not going to be here until 4 o'clock. Well, you understand that for a 3-year-old, 4 o'clock means nothing. You know, like it's 10 o'clock in the morning, mom says they're going to be there at 4 o'clock. You run to the window and you go, are they coming soon? Well, they're not going to be here until 4 o'clock. Oh, okay. Run back to the window. Are they going to be here soon? You just keep going back. I didn't really understand time, but what I kept doing was I kept running to the window in anticipation that they were going to show up. I at no point crossed my fingers and go, well, I really hope they really will show up. I really hope that my mom and dad are not lying. I really hope that I'm not going to get to the end of the day where there's disappointment in my life. No, I would stand at the window with wide eyes, looking out the window, knowing that at any moment it was going to happen. It was going to happen. You see, what God is saying to us today, and what he was saying to the Israelites, is that the hope that he wants to put into our life that will give us strength is a childlike hope that causes us to go to the window of our life with anticipation, with the situation we're in is not going to last forever, but with this absolute confidence, it's going to take place. That you stare out the window of your life and you go, God's going to show up. God's going to show up. I am completely confident that God is going to show up. You see, too often in my life, the reason why I don't have the strength I need to keep going is because I have a cross my fingers mentality rather than a complete confidence in who God is and his ability to show up in my life. Hebrews chapter 11, verses 1 to 2 says, now faith is the confidence for what we hope for, the assurance of what we don't see. And when I was a kid, I was completely assured that grandma and that my nan and pop were going to show up if mom and dad said that they were going to show up. I was completely assured. I couldn't see them. I couldn't see their car. I didn't know where they were in the journey from Toronto to Kitchener, but I was completely, completely, completely assured that they were going to show up. There was this hope that was based upon a promise. And what God is saying to the Israelites is, you can look out the window and know that my word is true, that you may not be able to see it, but I'm going to show up. I'm going to show up. Friends, I want to tell you something. For some of you, you need to stop crossing your fingers. And you need to pull up to the bay window and say, God made me a promise. I may not be able to see it. I may not understand it. But he is going to give me this year that which he's promised me. He's going to give me the capacity to get to where I need to get to. The promise is there. And I can be completely confident that this is going to take place. We must move from wishful thinking to an anticipation that God will give us the strength that we need, that which we can't see with our physical eyes, we begin to see with our spiritual eyes, and we look out the window for 2023 and believe that this is the year that God will give us what we need to get to the places He wants to take us. Today, you may not feel like you can get there. Today, you may not feel like you've got what it takes inside of you, but you need to look out the window of your soul into the eyes of Jesus and know that even though you can't physically see, that He will provide for you what you need to get to the places He wants to take you. The anticipation of hope. The second thing we see in this passage is the exchange of strength. It says, they that wait upon the Lord, or they that hope in the Lord, will renew their strength. Now, our English translations cause an interpretation that it's that if we wait upon God, that our strength will return to us. We get this idea that, you know, if I just, you know, I'm feeling kind of depleted, I'm feeling kind of, you know, burnt out, I've hit a wall, but if I just wait in the presence of God, the strength that I once had will return to me. Just before we left for Italy in November, Ains and I were like super busy, and we kept pushing ourselves to work out each morning because that's part of our routine. We got to the last Thursday, and we did our final workout, and we thought we're just going to keep pushing because we know that for the next week or so we're not going to get a chance to follow our routine. So we're in Italy, no working out. We come back and we're trying to get back into things, and Christmas is here at the church, and so, you know, we're like, we're just going to give ourselves a little break, and so we're just going to rest for a day, and we're not going to work out Monday, you know, maybe give ourselves a break on Tuesday. And then that just kept happening. I went into December, and there was just some random moments where we'd work out, and by the end of December, it had been almost 2 months that we had had proper workouts. So January comes, and we're like, this is ridiculous, let's get back on track, and so we start working out again. What I found is this, is that my first day of working out, the amount of weights I could lift prior to Italy was less, it was now less than then. That if I could lift 25 pounds with a dumbbell prior to Italy, now I could only lift 20 without causing myself significant pain. I wasn't able to maximize like I did before. I had given it enough time. I didn't have the capacity because I hadn't been working out. And so what I knew is that over a few days that I would have to keep pushing myself and keep pushing myself to get back to the place where my strength was strong, would return, and I'd be able to lift what I once lifted. And for some of us, we have this mentality that if we just wait in God's presence, that we can, and we just do enough things, if we just pray enough, if we just read our Bible enough, if we just do enough, we will get the strength, we will see the strength return to our lives. That we have to work something up to cause the strength to come back. But here's the problem. Some of us can't even lift the 5-pound dumbbells right now. Some of us have faced some situations in our life that we once were able to lift the 25-pound dumbbells, but now we can't even lift the 5-pound dumbbells, so we don't have a clue how we're going to get that strength back. And for so many Christians are sitting in the church, and they're like, I want to get back to that spiritual place. I want to get to the place where God wants me to be, but you're not even able to lift the very least of the dumbbells on the rack. Like, how do I do that? Well, listen. This was never God's intention. This renewing of strength was not a return to strength. You just do enough and you'll get the strength back. That's never what God wanted you to understand. This word renew means to change or alter. And there is an inference of exchange. This is what He wants you to hear today. This is so good. You ready? He takes our weariness, our weakness, and our powerlessness, and He exchanges it for what we need. Are you getting this? You don't work yourself back up to the strength place. You don't work yourself up to the capacity place because there are moments in your life that you just don't have the capacity to even lift the least of it. He says, let me take your weariness, that life that's marked by tiredness. Some of you are so exhausted. There are so many people post-COVID who don't want to even serve anymore because they're still tired. And God says, let me take your weariness and let me give you strength. Let me give you vitality. Let me give you what you need to do what I've called you to do. He then takes our weakness, that lost inner strength, that element inside where we feel depleted, and he says, let me give you power. And that which was related to bones, it's this durability to keep going, to keep going. He says, I'll take your weakness and I'll give you strength. So how do we exchange? Well, a number of years ago, we bought Ainsley, this was our second car. We bought Ainsley a little Volkswagen Jetta, 1991 Volkswagen Jetta. She was going back to nursing. She had been a stay-at-home mom, looking after her kids, and she was going back to nursing, and so we paid $5,000 for this little Jetta. And it was great. She loved it. And then we got to a place where the car I was driving, that we needed to trade it in, and we got another car, and so we switched. And so she had the Tribute, and especially because of her winter visits, and I took the Jetta. Now, I love the Jetta because if you've ever owned one of those old Jettas, in the winter, you get in the car and 2 seconds later, the thing's heated up. I mean, it's just incredible. You don't wait for like you do with cars nowadays where you're waiting for like 25 minutes before you get a little bit of heat. You turn the thing on and all of a sudden you feel like you should like be prepared for a sauna. It was just incredible. But I would drive that thing to all kinds of retreats and speaking engagements. A number of times I'd make my way to Montreal. And time after time, I found myself losing power with this car. I'd be driving down the 401, heading towards Cornwall, and all of a sudden, I just have no power. And so my car would veer, I'd steer my car over to the side, and I'd sit there for a few moments, turn it off, I'd wait, I'd turn it back on and keep going. I remember one time I brought somebody with me to one of my speaking engagements for Evangel in Montreal. And this happened, and he's like, oh my gosh, what are we going to do? And I was like, don't worry, everything's going to be fine. Turns off, turned back on, kept going. Well, you're a little concerned that at some point this thing's not going to turn back on. And so I'd take it to the garage, and the mechanic would do a few things, and he'd give it back to me, and everything would be great for a few months. And then it would happen again, and just be these random moments on the highway where I just lose power. And the more and more I drove it, and more money I spent at the mechanics, the more I realized that this thing was becoming independable. I just couldn't rely on it. And so one day we decided that we were going to get rid of this car, and we were going to get a Mazda 3. We traded in our Jetta, and we got this Mazda 3. And it was incredible. The Mazda 3, you start driving down the highway, and you're waiting for the power to go, but it just keeps going. I could depend on it so much. But the only way I could get to that vehicle, the dependable vehicle, the vehicle that would get me to my destination without problems, was that I had to exchange. I had to stop depending on the thing that was not dependable. And I had to start depending on something else. There literally had to be an exchange. So what does that mean with this passage? Some of us are not able to exchange what we have for God's strength because we just keep depending upon things that don't give us the strength. Some of us just keep depending on our own abilities, that we're just smart enough that we can get there, that we just experienced enough in faith that we can get there, that we just have enough affluence that we can get there. We just keep depending on our skills, on our finances, on our social network, on the things in our lives. And friends, let me tell you, those are the things that keep breaking down on the side of the road. And God's saying, if you want what you need to get to the places that I want to take you, stop depending on the things that keep breaking down. Stop depending on yourself. Stop depending on others. Stop depending on your skill sets. Stop depending on your friends. Stop depending on your money. Stop depending on your spiritual experience. Depend on me fully. Hand over everything that's broken. Hand over everything that's weary. Hand over everything that doesn't get you to the places that I want to take you. Do an exchange so I can put in your life the very things that you need to get to the next place. Let go in order to let God. Let go in order to let God. Psalm 73:26 says, my flesh and my heart may fail, but God is my strength and my portion forever. Friends, I don't want to move from this point just yet. Some of us have God in a back burner position in our life. We are depending on everything else that's on the front burner. Our jobs, our skill sets, our Christianity that we've had for years, that we truly don't depend on God on a regular basis. We are dependent on everything that has got us this far. And yet we know that we're not getting to the places in God that we want to get. We know that we're not getting to our Jerusalem because we keep depending on all the stuff on the front burner. It's time to move all the stuff on the front burner to the back burner and put God in the front burner and make him the one who gives us what we need to get to the next place. And I don't know what that looks like in each of your lives, but each of us knows the things that we depend on, the things that we think that we can get through to the next stage. I'll just confess, for me, I know I'm a strategic thinker, and I think, oh, I can figure out the solution to this. But there are just too many things in my life that I just can't come up with the solution. I need God. And so for me, I've got to put my strategic thinking aside and go, God, I got ideas, but what do you want to say here? I've got to get rid of what I'm dependent on, the Volkswagen, and grab hold of the Mazda 3. Here's the last thing. The continuation of strength. God breathes life into Israel. He tells them to look out the window, and he tells them that in their anticipation, he will give them an exchange of strength. He's saying, confidently lean on me. But for too many of us, this is a momentary thing. This leaning on God is from crisis to crisis. I do weddings occasionally. Right now I'm booked for just one this year. But I do weddings from occasionally. And no matter how different the weddings are, there's always one commonality. That when I meet the wedding party, somewhere in the journey, when I meet some of the family or the bride or somebody from the official party, I hear this statement: I just need to lose this many pounds in order to fit into the dress. You ever hear that statement? It's usually the bride. Sometimes it's the mother of the bride or the mother of the groom or the bridesmaid. I just need to lose 95 pounds to fit into the dress. Whatever it is. I just need to lose this many pounds by this date to fit into the dress. And so what happens is that, you know, you're going out and they're doing the engagement party, and the person who's made the declaration, they're standing at the table and they're eating like they're sticking their finger in the hummus, that's all they're touching, and they're just drinking water bottles and maybe eating the cucumbers because there's no calories in that. Like it's just like nothing. What are you going to have for dessert? Water. Each day, like each moment, it's just from here to here. They just got to get from here to here because this moment, this season, this means that they've got to just change things. And then they get to the wedding day. And the wedding day, they fit into that dress. Somebody should say something to them, all right? Like, was that wrong? Sorry. But we all know it's true, right? They're in the dress. And they've done it. They've got into the dress. And then you get to the wedding dinner. My goodness. Everything they've done for the last 6 months is out the window. I mean, I'm sometimes concerned that things are going to explode. Like, it's just like, get me away from that. Because the way that person is feeding up now, that dress is not going to fit by the end of the night. All this time for a moment. For a moment, seasonal, and then they go back. It's a great picture of our spirituality. Because for many of us, we are just in the season that we need God, where we operate on his strength. God, I'm facing this crisis. I just need you for the next 6 months. God, I just need you till this gets over. God, it's really bad right now, and I watch all the time people pressing in harder than they've ever pressed before, but when the crisis is done, they go back to the buffet, start eating like they did before, because it's just a momentary thing. But that's not God's plan for our lives. You see, God's plan is not that you would just wait till sunny to get fed and that'll just carry you through the week. God's plan isn't that you'll just go to that revival service and he'll carry you through the next season. God's plan is a continuation of his strength. And this is what God's saying through Isaiah, and he starts off and he says, they will mount up with wings of eagles. Let me tell you this, is there's not a whole lot of moments in my life where I need eagle's wings. But there are some. There are some crises where I need the supernatural and I need God to give me something far above what I need from a day-to-day basis. I need the eagle's wings. For some of you, you may be in a season where you need the eagle's wings. And he'll give you the strength you need for your crazy crisis right now. And then he says, you'll run and not grow weary. Just picture the Israelites. They're going from Babylon to Israel. Do you think they're running the entire way? That wasn't his plan. Grandma Joan wasn't going to be running the whole way, but there may have been some moments that they would run. You see, the running moments are those extra energy moments where you go, God, this is just going to be like, this week is going to be crazy. I need to be able to run this week, God. Just a little bit of extra energy. And we all need those at times. But Isaiah's building up to something. Eagle's wings, running. And then he says, you'll walk and not grow weary. You'll walk without fainting. Friends, this is the apex of the three. Please get this. The walking is the apex of the three, not the mounted eagle's wings, not the running, but the walking. Because it's the walking that we do on a daily basis. It's the walking that you do Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, whether the season is good or the season's bad. What you need more than anything, more times than not, is the strength to walk, not to run, not to have eagle's wings and soar, but what you need most days is just enough strength to walk. To walk. You see, most of our journey doesn't need the eagle's wing moments. Most of our journey doesn't need the running moments. Most of our journey needs the walking moments, the strength to keep going day after day after day. But too many of us are living our spiritual lives based on eagle wing moments or running moments, waiting for Sunday after Sunday, revival meeting, camp meeting, retreat, those special moments. But God is saying, I want to give you a perpetual strength to walk daily, that you can do the journey in the mundane, the day after day after day you can walk with Jesus. The day after day, when things are not exciting, when there's no crisis, you still have his strength. You still feel his presence, that he's still there renewing you day after day. Occasionally, I buy Ainsley flowers. I haven't done it for a while. I was thinking about this week. When I go into the store and buy the flowers, I get to the cashier, and the cashier says to me, what'd you do? It's like, I didn't do anything. No, I didn't do anything. Okay, so what's the special occasion? Like, there's no special occasion. Anniversary, forgotten. Birthday. No! I didn't do anything to get in trouble. I'm not buying these because it's a special occasion. Then I look at her and I'll say, I'm just buying these because I want to make sure that the walking moments in my marriage are good. I don't use that phrase, but I just want to do the things on a daily basis that will maintain the strength of my marriage. I just want to do the things when I don't have to be in crisis or when there's not a special. I just want to do those things. And God wants to give you flowers not just in your crisis situation. He wants to give you flowers not just when there's a special occasion. He wants to give you the flowers of strength in the walking moments, to make sure that there is a health within your life, a strength within your life, that every day in the monotony of life at times, and if we're honest, we don't always live in this mountaintop experience, in this adventure where we're on the peak of the mountain. Sometimes we're just walking the plains of Saskatchewan going, man, it's pretty boring out here. And God says, I want to give you strength for those days. I want to give you strength so you don't quit, that you keep going, that you keep going, that you keep going. And the more dependent we become on God daily, the more vitality we have to get to the places he wants to take us. You see, if you will be dependent on God on a daily basis, putting your hope and your confidence in Him, you'll walk every day without burning out, without quitting, without pulling back, not because you have the strength, but because He's taken your weakness and given you His strength. Several years ago, the University of Berkeley did an experiment, and this wasn't my experiment, so those of you who are animal lovers, please don't hate on me. They did an experiment where they filled this tub full of water, and then they took these Norwegian field rats, and they placed them into the water to see how long the rats would swim. Rats would swim for 7 hours and they would drown. So they decided to do the experiment again, and this time they changed things up. They put the Norwegian field rats back into the tub of water, and they let it swim for a bit. And when it got to the place where it looked like the Norwegian rat was going to give up, they would simply grab it by the tail and pull it out for just a couple seconds. Not 30, not 60, just a couple seconds. Just enough to give it a breather, to stop the striving. And then they'd put it back in the water. That one little act caused those rats to swim for a total of 20 hours as opposed to the 7. At the end of the experiment, they concluded this, that the reason why the rats were able to keep going was because of hope. Because of hope. Because there was a moment when they needed to be given some strength, that the being that was greater than them pulled them out and gave them a reprieve and gave them what they needed. And they just believed that if they kept going, that there would be that moment again. It is a beautiful picture of what God wants to say to you today. Over and over again, He's pulled you from the difficulties. And He's saying it's time to renew your strength. That no matter what you're going through, no matter what you're facing, you can keep going in His strength because there's hope in Him. There's hope in Him. There's hope in Him. They that wait upon the Lord will renew their strength. They will mount up with wings of eagles. They will run and not grow weary, and they will walk. They won't faint. They will get to Jerusalem, 2,700 miles away for the Israelites. That which seemed impossible. And I want to tell you this. You will get to the places that God wants to take you this year if you allow Him to give you the hope you need. If you place your confidence, your full dependence on Him, and stop depending on the things you've been depending on, and allow Him to give you the strength on a daily basis to meet your destination.